Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome everyone on this October 25, 2019. We are back up on Skype. Hallelujah. The sound quality is a little bit better than when we are on the Direct Connect feature on the Blog Talk Radio studio. And we are again thankful that they finally got that, the techie guys over at Blog Talk Radio finally got that taken care of. Thank you for that. Today is the day before my son and his new bride go off on their honeymoon. And I am pretty sure that they are not listening. But in any case, I'm going to wish them well. They leave tomorrow for Cancun, where they're staying in a bed and breakfast, of all things. So I wish you, Zach, and Erica all the best and have a great honeymoon. We are just about to get started, but I do want to remind you that the chat room is up and running. In case you want to chat in with a question, you can do it there. You can also call in, and we would actually prefer that. That's a lot more interactive. If you'd like to call in, our phone number is 646-716-8390, but you already know that if you're up on the website. So let us have prayer, and we will get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. It seems like the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And I understand that all of these things are not necessarily the prelude to the time of the end. We kind of hope so. But what we can see is that truth is under siege and is being attacked from all four corners of the world. I pray, Father, that you will, in your great mercy, reveal to us the ability to decipher truth from lies, to have the correct code book so that we can understand what Jesus said, why he said it, how he said it, and what we need to do about it. I thank you for doing these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning.
And good morning, Rick. It is nice to see you. And it is so nice, again, to have our standard means of getting this on the air functioning.
Yes.
Oh, and I pray that that will continue.
Without interruption.
Without interruption.
And I'm having a certain amount of
Trepidation, maybe?
Mild trepidation or uncertainty or whatever you want to call it, that I am going to have to go back to work in the cath lab, and it probably won't be in the general vicinity. And so I don't know how that's going to affect what I'm doing here, but we'll see. My finances have basically
tanked.
I'm operating on fumes financially. And anyway, that's not the issue here. The issue here is I'm asking a question. And my question is this: what constitutes the soul? You know, there's that statement that the Son of God made. And it goes something like this. What would it profit a man should he gain the whole world, yet lose his own soul? And another translation for that word is life. And I would say that it is accurate to say that the human soul is the life of that human. The human soul is our life. What constitutes the soul? That statement goes on to say, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What would a man give in exchange for his life? And the life the Son of God is talking about there is eternal life. Not your life here now. The life where you go to work, earn money to pay your bills. The life in the country in which you live that is ruled over, controlled by the ruling party or ruling class. Many of whom feel they have a divine right to rule, enacting codes and laws and regulations to control the life of their people. Here in this country, the United States, there's a war going on. It's not a war that involves taking life. It is not being fought with weapons. It is being fought with information. It is not it's really not different than the type of war that took place in the heavens a long time ago. The devil and his angels made a stand against Michael and his angels. And what was being determined is the same thing that is going on in Washington, D.C. right now. The angels had a decision. That decision was a choice, and they could choose freely. They could choose whether they believed Lucifer and his way. And how was this conducted? It was conducted with information. How is information transferred?
Words.
Words spoken and words written on a page. And pictures. Words and pictures. I've used the example before, and I used this one time when I was discussing with a person who had a very different belief about spirituality. I said, when you read words on a page, where do the words you read go? Well, she was a little shocked. Never thought about that. And I said, when you read the words on a page, does the word disappear from the page when it goes where it goes? Well, no, it doesn't. It's still there. So I said, then how does the word on the page go into your mind if it doesn't leave the page? Well, it's a spiritual thing. Ah, so the spirit or soul of man is words. Words that have, that were not there when the person was born. So in other words, they were not born with these words in their mind. In fact, when they were born, there were no words in their mind. But throughout their life, they have read books, papers, reading material. They've seen pictures, watched movies, television, all that information has gone somewhere. The words that go into your mind make up what is your intellect. The words and pictures are what constitute your intellect. Your intellect is the heart of your spirit. The intellect is who you are. What you are is your substance. Who you are is your soul, your spirit. So who you are the words that are in your intellect. The words and the pictures. Now, if those words are true, then the substance of your soul is truth. But if the words are lies, your soul has no substance. If your soul has substance, your soul has life. If your soul does not have substance, your soul has death. And your soul will never be eternal. Your soul will be destroyed in flames, along with this soul of the originators of the rebellion, the insurrection. Again, one of my favorite texts, found in John chapter 12. And I'm going to start reading. Well, first I'm going to set the context here. Not too long a time, the Son of God will be arrested, taken to a kangaroo court, convicted falsely, condemned to hang on a cross. He is here 6 days before the Passover. He goes to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom he had raised from the dead. They were giving him a dinner. And there were some Greeks there. They wanted to meet this remarkable man. In verse 20, we read, "Among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. These approached Philip, who came from Bethsaida in Galilee, and put this request to him, 'Sir, we should like to see Jesus.' Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip together went to tell Jesus. Jesus replied to them, 'Now the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you most solemnly, unless a wheat grain falls on the ground and dies, it remains only a single grain. But if it dies, it yields a rich harvest.'" Obviously, he's speaking in metaphorical, spiritual words. "Anyone who loves his life loses it. Anyone who hates his life in this world will keep it for the eternal life. If a man serves me, he must follow me. Wherever I am, my servant will be there too. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. Now, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this very reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. A voice came from the heavens. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. People standing by who heard this said it was a clap of thunder. Others said it was an angel speaking to him. Jesus answered, "It was not for my sake that this voice came, but for yours. Now, sentence is being passed on this world. Now, the prince of this world is to be overthrown. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I shall draw all men to myself."
Wow. You know, you read that, you hear it read. Every single time you do this, Rick, I hear and I see something different. And today I saw perspective. There were two types of people that heard the voice. One type of person just heard an indiscriminate sound, a thunder, something like that. The other group of people heard the words as if it was from an angel. Perspective. This shows you that even then, there were two groups of people that were going to listen to the truth. Those who already loved the truth and those who already hated it. And this reminds me of my favorite, one of my like three favorite passages in the Bible, in John 3, 19 through 21, where Jesus said this, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and man loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been done or wrought in God. The people who were listening to the voice heard it because they were already of the truth. The people who didn't hear it because they were at that moment not already of the truth.
They heard thunder.
They heard thunder. They heard something that was indiscriminate, something that they could not understand.
That's right.
And the same is true today. There will be people who hear this particular message, and there will be, and hear it in words and see the picture that you have painted. There will also be those who just hear noise.
Now, here to me is a very provocative statement. A statement that those who believe that the Bible is the absolute truth, the way they understand it, the way it has been presented to them,
give us the text.
It's same one. I'm just reading on John 12:34. It says, by these words, he indicated the kind of death he would die, which may be true, but when he's lifted up and drawing all men to him, would also be a description of him going to the Father and drawing all men to him. The crowd answered, the law has taught us that the Christ will remain forever, the Messiah. This is in the law. This is in the Bible. This is what our Bible says. And you
have the gall.
You have led us to believe you are the Messiah, is what's going through their mind. Their inference is, our Bible says the Messiah is going to stay forever. You're saying you're going to be taken up. How can you be the Messiah according to the law? How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus then said, the light will be with you only a little longer now. He didn't say the Messiah. He didn't say the Son of God. He didn't say, I will. He said, the light will. What is most important? Is it how we understand what's written in the Bible, how it's been taught to us? Or is it the truth? Because light and truth are the same, represent the same thing, light and truth. And when he says the light will be with you only a little longer now, walk while you have the light, or the dark will overtake you. He who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. While you still have the light, believe in the light, and you will become sons of light. Having said this, Jesus left them and kept himself hidden. Were they in darkness when he made this statement?
Absolutely.
And what had they just said? This statement was made in response to what? What is it that they said that he gave them this response? In essence, what they said is, this is what our Bible says. How can you be our Messiah?
Right.
Though they had been present when he gave so many signs, they did not believe in him. This was to fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah, Lord, who could believe what we have heard said? And to whom has the power of the Lord been revealed? Indeed, they were unable to believe because, as Isaiah says, again, he has blinded their eyes, he has hardened their heart. For fear, they should see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn to me for healing. Isaiah said this when he saw his glory, and his words referred to Jesus. And yet, there were many who did believe in him, even among the leading men, but they did not admit it through fear of the Pharisees and fear of being expelled from the synagogue. They put honor from men before the honor that comes from God. Jesus declared publicly, "Whoever believes in me." Now remember here what John just said, and I just read it. Verses 37 through 43, talking about belief and seeing the signs and eyes to see and a heart to understand and healing. Keep that in mind. Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I, the light, have come into the world so that whoever believes in me need not stay in the dark anymore. Now, he had just talked about the light being with you a little longer, walking in the light, staying in the dark. So what is what he's saying here mean? Well, let's read on. I, the light, have come into the world so that whoever believes in me need not stay in the dark anymore. If anyone hears my words. Now, remember, you need to keep in mind what John just said about what Jesus was doing. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart so they couldn't hear. You go, well, that's not fair. Why would God say something that would save these people and then not allow them to hear it? That's not what he is saying. He's saying the people have stopped up their ears. The people have closed their eyes. The people have prevented themselves from hearing something that contradicts what they have been taught and what they hold to dearly as the Word of God. And it is nothing other than a collection of lies. And these words have come right out of the law. Yet the way they have been taught what these words mean has turned them into a lie. God protects the truth, but he doesn't prevent the truth from being presented in a false context. He has given us the ability to decipher and know the truth if that is what we have set our heart on doing. But if we're just satisfied with the status quo and that's what the truth is, then we have opened ourselves up for deception. And there are none so deceived as those who refuse to consider something other than what they have been taught.
An alternative. And, you know, I find it fascinating that all through John's writings, he is one of the disciples, one of the two, maybe three, that actually got it. Because in Revelation, we see John being told by the angel this is found in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. It doesn't say, if anyone hears me speak. It says, I stand at the door and knock.
If anyone hears my voice.
You see, the knock gets your attention, but you have to know who your master is in order to be able to open that door.
He is speaking the truth. And if you are refusing the truth, what do you hear?
Thunder. You hear thunder.
You hear thunder.
Nothing. You hear noise. Exactly.
If anyone hears my words and does not keep them faithfully, it is not I who shall condemn him. Since I have come not to condemn the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and refuses my words. And I could put this a little differently. He who rejects me has done so because he refuses my words. He has his judge already. Already he's been judged. Notice, this is not something in the future. It is something in the present.
It is a present.
He has his judge already. The word itself that I have spoken will be his judge on the last day. For what I have spoken does not come from myself. No. What I was to say, what I had to speak, was commanded by the Father who sent me. And I know that his commands mean eternal life. And therefore, what the Father has told me is what I speak.
And I'm going to make a practical application of that. We have been asked from time to time, well, how do you know you're right? I mean, I've heard this. And the only answer I have is, the only words I am speaking to you are the words that Jesus Christ spoke to his own disciples. These are not my words. And this is exactly the same thing that Jesus said about his relationship with the Father. We just heard it. You can reject us. It's perfectly fine if you do. And I'm talking about Spirit of Truth Ministry and those who work inside that structure. But if you refuse the words that Jesus said, then you are not rejecting us, you are rejecting God. It's the same thing when God spoke to Samuel about the children of Israel wanting a king. And Samuel was feeling put upon, and he said, well, God, they've rejected me because of you. And God came back to Samuel and said, no, they haven't rejected you. They have rejected me.
Well, people will find any number of excuses to not believe the truth. They'll say, well, you know, how do we know that what's written in Matthew and what's written in John was what Matthew heard and what John heard? How do we know that those are his words? Because it has been 2,000 years, and it was not originally spoken in English. It was spoken primarily in Aramaic. So how do we know that, first of all, the disciples wrote down what they heard, because they wrote these down decades later. And then we have no original manuscripts. We only have copies. How do we know that the copiers were accurately copying what they were reading from the older manuscripts? And how do we know that the translators were translating the words properly into the language in which they were translating? How do we know? How can we be sure? So that gives us an excuse to believe whatever we want to be, whatever type of person we want to be. And when the king returns, he has to save us because we gave it our best under the circumstances.
And no one can really know all of the truth, because the truth is an impossible idea.
So what are you really saying? What you're really saying is the Almighty Being who created the universe and everything in it, and the planets and the stars and the moons and the galaxies that move in harmony with each other
and are held together by immense forces of magnetism.
The God who could do this is incapable of preserving his words in a way that those who will have to answer for them and account for them could realistically be realized.
So Jesus was at least participating in euphemism and hyperbole when he told his disciples in John 17:20, in his prayer to his Father, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who also believe in me through their word.
That was his hope and prayer, but obviously
it didn't happen.
He didn't,
right, exactly,
you know, realize the circumstances that were going to be in play at the end of time.
Yeah, and he knew that God was not powerful enough to accomplish what he said. He's just trying to give the disciples hope for the future.
And, you know, there's good evidence that the words of the prophets were preserved, at least up to the time of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And when the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, they found an intact Isaiah scroll. I believe it was Isaiah.
It was Isaiah.
And lo and behold, the Isaiah scroll was accurate with the Isaiah in the Bible.
You know, it's interesting. My son and his new wife, Zach and Erica, are members of the Huntington Library Association. And they have gone to the Huntington Library to see a reproduction of the Dead Sea Scrolls. In their sealed cabinets, you can actually go see what they look like there. And this is in Pasadena. The idea that God cannot preserve his word is anathema to who God is.
There is that text. I think it's in Isaiah. Talks about the rain and the snow comes down from the heavens, waters the earth and the seed, so that the seed that God planted can germinate, sprout, and grow. And that the word of the Lord is like that seed, and once planted, it will not return to him empty, without accomplishing the purpose for which it was given. If you want to try in the judgment and use the unreliability of the word of God as written in Matthew and John and Revelation, if you want to say, well, God, I couldn't really rely on those words because they were not the words you spoke, they were not written by, they were copied from writings. And so I did the best I could.
By the way, this is found in Isaiah 55:10 and in those environs.
What do you think God will say? Well, if you don't, if you didn't know that I am God Almighty, then you didn't know anything. You see, all manner of excuses can be given
and are
for why you didn't allow the truth to be planted in your intellect. The Son of God says that the word that he has spoken will be the judge of the person on the last day. He's not just talking about those people who were there hearing him at the time. He will be talking about people who have had access to those words. And as Dennis read his prayer, when he said, those who through their words, will believe.
And by the way, this is not the words of anyone who simply claims to have been sent by God. This is the words of the actual disciples who, in his presence, while he was here on earth, heard those words.
Right. Now, the 144,000 are alive when they are sealed. They are set apart from the living people, the people who are alive. They are not raised from the dead. So in other words, the 144,000 are not made up of people who have lived before and died. There is no special resurrection for the 144,000. The 144,000 are alive when they are sealed, and they have not, up until that point, seen death, experienced death themselves. Revelation 14, verse 1. Next in my vision, I saw Mount Zion, and standing on it a lamb, who had with him 144,000 people, all with his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. I heard a sound coming out of the sky like the sound of the ocean or the roar of thunder. It seemed to be the sound of harpists playing their harps there in front of the throne. They were singing a new hymn in the presence of the four animals and the elders, a hymn that could only be learnt by the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the world. That's the kingdom of the world, by the way. These are the ones who have kept their purity and have not been defiled with women, men to be the first fruits for God and for the Lamb. First fruits of what? The living. First fruits of the living. They never allowed a lie to pass their lips, and no fault can be found in them. No fault is found in them because there's no lie in them.
Verse 5.
Revelation 14:5. So, these people have truth in their intellect, and there are no lies there. These people have completed the sanctification process and have entered the kingdom of God. And I can verify that because it says they have been redeemed from the world. They are no longer in the kingdom of the world. They are in the kingdom of God. That is why they are standing on Mount Zion. Now, Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. Then I saw another angel flying high overhead, sent to announce the good news of eternity to all who live on the earth, every nation, race, language, and tribe. He is calling. Now listen. Listen carefully. Fear God and praise Him, because the time has come for Him to sit in judgment. Worship the Maker of heaven and earth and sea and every water spring. God has created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all the springs of water. And He is sitting in judgment on the world. the people of the world. And what is he looking for in the people of the world? Well, this message is delivered after the door to the kingdom has been shut. The kingdom is all set. So you say, well, how can the kingdom be all set? And there's an announcement here of a judgment, and it sounds like judgment is opening, not has closed. There are, judgment has three groups, three tiers, three parts, whatever you want to call it. The first ones judged are the priests. The priests are the 144,000. You can read about the 144,000. It says that they are pillar in the temple of God, and they shall never leave it. The pillars in the temple of God are the priests, and they will never leave it. They will never lose their place as priest, is what it is saying. The next is the kingdom. The kingdom, we are told, are like 10 bridesmaids. And we have that whole account in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. The kingdom is the bridesmaids. The bridesmaids are like the kingdom in the wilderness. They're called the kingdom of the heavens. They started the process of sanctification, but they stopped along the way. They are awakened by the 144,000. The sanctification process is then completed by those who have the oil, the wise bridesmaids. The foolish are out. The door is shut to the kingdom. The foolish come and they are not granted admission. Then the judgment opens for the nations, the peoples of earth, and the kingdom and the 144,000 will be taking the truth to the world. And those who choose the truth will be saved and have eternal life. They will have access to the tree of life. Those who reject the truth will accept the seal of the God of this world. That's the God, small g, the beast, the name of the beast. They will experience the second death, from which there is no resurrection. They will not have access to the tree of life. They will be put to death, and their souls will be burned to nothingness. And they, along with the angelic spiritual beings who instigated the insurrection, will be forever gone. No memory of them whatsoever.
Thank you very much, Rick, for being here today, and we thank all of our listeners as well. I encourage you to go to our website at spirittruthministry.net and look around. We also encourage you to join us tomorrow for another edition of the Mission of Kings. On behalf of the so much. We hope you have a great day. And again,
I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from
can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand will shout the victory. Their songs of sweetest praise will ring from heaven's door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world. Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me.